So, Mikey texted a couple of days ago, and he said, because we've been talking about this for the last 2 weeks, we need to see Parasite, we need to see Parasite, we need to see Parasite.
And this movie, typically there's one of these every year, and for whatever reason, it's the outlier, it's the one that you just kind of dismiss, and you don't go see it.
I know.
And this year, the buzz around this thing, and the people that I've trusted that have seen it and recommended it, I couldn't miss this film.
Well, Mikey sent us a text and said, let's see this. Let's do it on Thursday. We both said yes. It gave us an excuse to watch it finally. And that we did. And if you're not familiar with it, it's very confusing to say that this is a South Korean movie that is obviously subtitled. It has been a huge, huge, huge player at the award shows. Most recently at the SAG Awards, winning Best Cast, which I believe is the first for a foreign language film. And it is a dark, comedic thriller set in modern times in South Korea. And it deals with one family who is a family of grifters, kind of imposing their will and running their game on a rich family. And man, I can see that. I don't know if this is my favorite movie of the year, but it sure as hell, if it's not, it's top two. And I haven't seen 1917 yet. And I have a feeling that's going to win because it has everything that.
Yeah,
Academy,
the whole normal recipe.
Yeah, that
but
Academy
I think
voters
this
want.
Movie is freaking people out in a different way. Like, I said it before I saw it when I did the show with you guys last time, I think. I was like, I think this is going to win the Best Picture because I think it's so good and it's so different. War movies always do very well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, every other nominee is sort of a movie,
yeah.
An idea that we've seen or heard before, I guess. Maybe Once Upon a Time in Hollywood isn't. It's a pretty weird one. But, man, this thing is just, I feel like, in a different category. Literally being that it's South Korean, but everything about it, because it's a foreign film, just feels and looks different. And I think they want to reward this damn thing
after
with the big one.
After the film, it felt like I had just watched a movie created by the Korean Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
It's got that kind
Dude,
of feel
I love
to
that.
It.
It's a horror movie, for sure. And, you know, like, if you saw the movie Us, it's got those elements of halfway through the movie, things shift into sheer terror.
Well, yeah. You mean a thriller, not a horror movie.
Yeah,
not a horror
no,
movie.
No. But it does,
boy, it is
it does take
tense.
A turn.
But I laugh like crazy. It's
yeah.
kind of like a two-piece movie, too. Like, the
very
first half
so.
Is very fun.
Yeah.
Very fast-paced, and you almost forget that you're reading subtitles, and that's how those good movies go, usually,
yeah.
anyway.
And I laughed. There was a laugh-out-loud moment. And, look, it's weird to have a comedy that's subtitled, because you're laughing at what you read,
mm-hmm.
basically. But there was one laugh-out-loud moment. I don't know if you guys found this subtly funny and brilliant, but They kind of, one by one, this family member becomes part of this other family.
As far as employees of theirs.
Yes. And they're lying to them as far as what their resume is, but they infiltrate this family.
They present themselves as unrelated individuals, too.
Yes, they do.
Like, they don't know each other at all.
And there's this one guy who's teaching the daughter, the rich family daughter, English. The sister ends up teaching the spoiled son art. And as the mother of the rich family is showing the brother from the grifter family her son's art projects,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, yeah, take a look at this. This is one of his pieces. The kid's like 9, and the brother's looking at it, you know, just trying to play himself off as some art expert. He was like, interesting, very metaphorical, and that's a chimpanzee, right? And she goes, no, it's a self-portrait. And he goes,
and he's like,
aha.
He's just on a different level.
Yes.
Brilliant. Yeah, that was in one of the trailers.
So oh, it was?
Yeah, they'd already spoiled that joke for me.
Okay, man. It is so well done. And again, you're seeing a movie that you think is going in one direction. For me, not having read any reviews, mm-hmm. I just knew it was about a couple of families whose lives intertwined in Korea. It's taking a certain direction, and you're very happy with it. I was like, wow, what? This is so smart. And this family, one by one, mm-hmm. is taking over this other family, and you're happy with it, and it's fun, and you laugh. And dude, a door opens and suddenly you're...
Literally.
Yes, you are thrust into another plot line, another movie, and it is, like you said, a white knuckle ride.
And there's no foreshadowing anywhere to lead you to this point in the film about halfway through where the door literally opens and you're in a whole nother world that you had no idea was going to go there.
It felt like two movies, but I loved both of the movies.
Equally.
You know?
Yeah.
And maybe equally.
Yeah.
Now, it was tense, and I caught myself, you may make fun of me, I did the hands over the eyes at one point. Not because I was scared, it was more like the tension of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, please don't. And I did the peek through the dang fingers. And
puts
like,
his dog up over his face and
Simon,
then kind of lowers
Simon
the dog.
Simon, come.
And raises him back up.
The hair on his back. I can see half of it.
So funny, man. That's like my kids in any scary movie. They still, my little one especially, you see him over there on the couch covering his eyes and then kind of opening one.
I did it.
Just a little bit.
It wasn't because I was scared. I was just tense and I didn't want this guy or girl to get caught in the moment, basically. So Bong is the director.
Yeah.
And everything he does is kind of about class warfare. And did you guys see Snowpiercer?
No, but I want to watch everything this guy does.
I knew nothing about this guy going into this.
Yeah. I only have seen Snowpiercer of the movies that he's done.
I saw that one. It's great.
Do you guys have you?
No. But
no.
I will.
Do you know anything about it?
Nothing.
No. I mean, listen to this premise. If I pitched you this, Snowpiercer is about the world is frozen over for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And the only people alive are on this train that goes around the entire world. Okay?
Never stops.
It never stops. It can't stop moving or it'll freeze and everyone dies. But the train is separated into classes where all the rich people are at the front and the poor people are at the back basically shoveling the coal or trying to keep the train going. Of linear train, and then there's a war that basically happens on the train. It's just the most insane premise for a movie that when you watch it, it makes a little bit of sense.
So is this...
And you enjoy the hell out of. So that's always what he goes for, is he wants to shine light on the
rich
widening
poor,
gap between rich and poor.
Is this guy like the Tarantino of Korean film? Because my buddy... who I sent a note to, I'm like, have you seen this? And he was like, I have it. I'm going to see it soon. He goes, but I'm way into Korean film. I was like, what? What does that even mean? And I guess it's a thing. I mean, maybe, is this guy like the guy? Bong?
I don't know if Bong is the guy there, or if he's considered like Tarantino there, or he's just has major movies that cross over to here, and that's why we are more aware of him. Because I caught myself watching this, like, it's so good. How many other great South Korean movies are there that we're just not even hearing about because they didn't dip their head above the waterline that is required for us to find out about them in the United States? Like, is this twice as good as every other? I doubt it. I bet there's great movies that are just beneath this one.
I will say this. Based on that film as a single man, I think I'd like to visit Seoul.
There's some pretty gals.
If that's a good representation of the breeding over there.
Jeez.
Wow.
Just saying.
Well, at least the super wealthy housewife, if that's what you... I think she's probably going to be hot in most nations.
Boy, and how about...
And she was.
So the house that they...
That house was coolest, amazing.
That's the coolest house I think I've ever seen. And that was part of it. You know, part of the brilliance of the movie is that these grifters end up finding this rich family, and they don't know what they're getting into as far as once they walk inside. But once you do walk inside this house, it supposedly, according to the story, was done by this famous architect.
Yeah, this mid-century modern whiz.
Yeah, who built the house for himself. And that's kind of the basis for everything. But it was like they're walking you through that, you know, with the cameras. It's incredible. I mean, it's part of the movie, the architecture of that house.
No doubt.
I loved being in that house. Anytime they were in that house, I was so happy.
And it is. And
it's so cool to look at.
And like you were saying, Troy, like the juxtaposition of that house compared to where the poor grifters lived, which was basically...
squalor.
Yeah, it was.
Well, and it's...
the edge of a sewer.
They're down. I mean, they're down a hill, too.
Yeah.
And then this beautiful house is up the hill. So then they go to work. They literally walk up the hill. I mean, there's so much symbolism and everything. And then a rainstorm happens. At the rich house, they're watching this beautiful rainstorm and the lightning. Like, oh, my God, it's so pretty out.
But they're on such high ground, it doesn't affect them.
And then at the poor house, it's flooded. And there's sewage floods.
And they got to go spend the night in the YMCA or something like that.
In a gym.
Yeah.
There's so much of that stuff that I don't even think I could have picked up on one viewing, you know? Like, it would just take multiple viewings. And you know how good movies like this, when they end, you just kind of sit there and like, what the hell just happened? 100% I got that with this one.
Absolutely.
I love the ending. There's an odd sort of an ending. I mean, it's a foreign film, so it feels different than a lot of the stuff that we get spoon-fed here. Certainly the Avengers and whatever Danny was ripping on earlier, which I totally agree. But this thing is different. And it translates, man. It works, and I love it.
Can it win?
The review that I read, the New York Times review afterwards today, and at the very beginning it says, midway through the brilliant and deeply unsettling Parasite, and I think that was that's the perfect way to describe it. It's brilliant and unsettling. I mean, it, like,
by
you
the
said,
end, though, did you feel unsettled? Yeah, maybe I can see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like, whoa. I've
never been to a birthday party, a kid's birthday party like that before.
No, that was a fun one, huh?
99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Do you think it can win, or do you think it will?
Oh, I think it can, for sure. I mean,
this is something, look, the fact that we are talking about it on an afternoon drive sports radio station, mm-hmm. This is what the Oscar people love.
Yeah.
It's not so obtuse, or I mean obscure, that no one here has seen it. People
right.
in America are going to see this film.
Yeah.
Just based on the buzz that it's
getting. And I think, look.
And it's holding steady as far as sales in
right.
theaters because the word of mouth continues. And hell, when you get nominated for the big boy, you have to keep it in theaters and keep it available.
The majority of human beings, though, let's be honest, that live here in the States, when they hear foreign language film and subtitled,
nope.
they're immediately out.
Don't go to the movies to read.
They're out.
But that's going to affect ticket sales. I don't know if that's going to affect voting.
No. But that, like, we're promoting it as, who cares about the Oscars? We're promoting it. You need to go see this. And I swear, even half of our audience, like, no, I'm out. That's just, they're give up, you know? They want to go to a movie to relax and kick back or whatever. And yeah, you kind of got to focus a little bit.
I hear that. I don't seek out foreign film, but when one of them is on this level, mm-hmm. and I love Crouching Tiger, and that was subtitled, and I was like, wow, that was cool.
So is the last foreign language film to win the Roberto Benigni Life is Beautiful? Did he win Best Actor?
I think he won Best Actor.
That didn't win Best Picture, though.
I don't believe so.
But it was nominated. Maybe that's the last one that has created this type of buzz. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's this much, man. This one's got a cool buzz going and everyone, like you said, no one sees it and they're like, meh.
Dude, it's slick as hell, too.
Pretty.
The way that it's shot.
And the music is perfect.
Oh, yeah. It's all really, really cool and different.
People are asking, where do you see it? It's in theaters.
Yeah. Yeah, it was at Alamo. It's at the Draft House.
Yep. So you can get it home too if you on your smart TV.
The but whole Amazon thing.
You can't rent it. It's in that window where you have to buy it.
That's
so it's
fine.
$15 right now.
That's fine. It saved me a trip out. Well, the theater would have cost you $10 or more.
I sneak in.
Okay.
I loved it. Go see it. Good job, Bong.
Bong.
I think I've seen that before.
Well, you haven't yet. Maybe you have. I don't know.
I think he's talking to us from the dead.
Boo.
Yes, that is...
It's Mike Ghost.
Boo.
The review of Parasite.
Go see it.
Yep, go check it out.